So now, as we get ready for baseball, Andy Baggerly joins us, Andy of The Athletic, and really one of the most hardworking guys, I think, in the business. And Andy, nice to have you with us this morning.
Hey, Marty, how's it going?
Very good, and get right to it. You had quite a week doing a little bit of research, and I know your story came out today, and I'd love to have you share it with us.
Yeah, you know, one of the really nice things, I think, about how we sort of do things at The Athletic is we don't really have to, cover a game story every day, or you can take a part of a road trip off and do something different if you think there's a good story to be told somewhere else. And watching Joey Bart hit all those homers when he reported to short season ball in Salem, I thought, you know, this is where the story is. So I didn't go to Cincinnati and New York. Instead, I peeled off and went up to Oregon and hung out with the Pacific or with the Northwest League for the week, and got some time with Joey, get to watch him play, see how he goes about his business, carries himself, and see everybody else up there too. They've got quite a few promising pitchers, a long way from the big leagues, but always good to familiarize yourself with what's going on in the lower rungs of the system. And obviously Joey Bart is the guy who's commanding all the attention.
Well, very timely, you know, with the Buster Posey surgery coming up tomorrow and a 6 to 8 month rehab. And we had an orthopedist on yesterday who doesn't know Buster, but just talked a little bit about that kind of surgery. And it's not a walk in the park. It is something that has got to heal up properly. So is Joey Bart, does that put him on the fast track? And what was your impression of him as a player and watching him?
Well, I don't think it really affects what track he's on. I think he will be on a fast track, but I think he was going to be on a fast track anyway. But, you know, one of the things that's in the story is we go back and we look at how Buster was developed. And, you know, he wasn't in the minor leagues very long, but he was very, very well traveled. You know, he went, he even played in the Hawaiian Winter League. He was in Salem for only 3 days before the Giants promoted him to San Jose for the playoffs. And, you know, they had him going all over creation. By the time he got to the Fall League in his second pro season, he was just out of gas. And I don't think that they're going to do that with Joey. I think they see a guy who is, you know, Buster, this is the best way to put it. Buster was somebody who they thought an awful lot about, but he wasn't someone who they thought was going to project to get bigger and stronger than what he was when they drafted him. And sure enough, 6'1", 205 when he was drafted, 6'1", 207 today, at least it listed in the media guide. Joey Bart's a bigger kid. He's 6'3", he's already 220 pounds, he's going to get bigger. You know, he's a guy who is a power hitter. And as a catcher, he should have the kind of body that, you know, the physical part won't be as big of a challenge for him to maintain every single day, because he's been catching since he was 11, unlike Buster, who learned how to do it you know, when he was in college. So I think they're a bit less concerned about how Bart's going to handle that. And mostly it's just going to be, hey, you know, he knows how to catch. He knows how to receive. He carries himself like a big leaguer on the field, Marty. And it's just a matter of getting him to work consistently with some of the same pitchers, which he's going to do in Salem here for another week or so. And then learning how that kind of stuff plays against hitters at higher levels, and how you really call a game and how you sequence. You know, he did call his own games at Georgia Tech. So, you know, I think they're really excited about how fast he could develop, but I don't think they're going to accelerate his development based on Buster surgery.
All right. Most impressive part of what you saw was the power, the catching, leadership, if you could spend enough time with him to determine that. What was the most impressive?
I think the most impressive thing was talking to him, to be honest. I mean, the skills jump off the field, especially when he's playing, you know, against the competition he's playing against in short season ball. I mean, he's really strong. He throws, he's got a quick release, very strong arm. Sean Jelly, the 6'11" pitcher, yanked one in the opposite batter's box, and he not only smothered it, but came up throwing and would have thrown a runner out at second base if the infielder hadn't dropped the ball. So all that stuff is kind of obvious.
Wow.
But the part that impressed me the most was talking to him. And when he says that I'm going to go to spring training next year and it's going to be, you know, it's my goal to turn heads, but not necessarily turn heads with what he does in the field, but how hard he works. That's what the impression he wants to make on everybody is, just how committed he is and how much work he's willing to put in, you know, to be the best player he can be.
Right. Great story. Andy Baggerly with us of The Athletic. Spent a whole week up at Salem Kaiser. You're an expert on the Northwest League now, I guess. Well, what was it like watching games up there?
Well, I tell you what, it's a different baseball, that's for sure. I saw a triple play, Marty.
All right, very good.
But I'll have to tell you, there's a big star next to this triple play because the batter fouled the ball off his foot and the umpires didn't see it. So it should have been a dead ball. Bases loaded, nobody out. And the guy fouled from, I think it was Boise, fouls a ball off his foot. So the Salem manager, Hector Borg, goes running on the field saying, no, that's a dead ball, that's a dead ball. And the third baseman picked it up, tagged the runner between third and home, stepped on third base, and threw across the diamond to first. Wow. And because the Salem runners weren't running. And not only that, the umpires actually didn't see the third baseman step on third. They kind of took his word for it after the fact, okay. Which you're not supposed to do as an umpire. But the umpires also lost track of the outs a couple innings before that. So that kind of gives you a flavor of what the Northwest League's all about.
Boy, funny. All right, Andy with us, Andy Baggerly. Suarez, Andy, pitched an outstanding game yesterday. And again, we all thought maybe he's hit the wall a little bit. 7 shutout innings. Rodriguez, of course, had the good game the night before that got away from the Giants. But those two continue marching on, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And, you know, it is the Rangers. It's not the Houston Astros and their struggling ball club. But, you know, you look at the stuff, and Suarez got, I think, 14 ground ball outs, including 2 double plays and 1 fly ball out. And that's where he's got to be. I mean, that's, you know, that's sort of right in his wheelhouse to start like that. So that tells you that his cutter was working. His fastball had good movement. And he was up to, I think, almost 94 miles an hour at 93.5, I think he topped out at. So it's nice to see him be able to bounce back and have a start like that, you know, not only after he'd struggled for a month, but also this late in the season. So, you know, he said he spent a lot of time looking at mechanical stuff, you know, on video, and he's working with Nick Hundley, who's going to take over this pitching staff really full time, I think, for the rest of the way. So, yeah, absolutely right. I think, you know, the Giants need to put together a rotation that they believe can be consistent if they want to, you know, contend next year. And they can't just throw tons of money at it because they've already thrown a ton of money at it with Johnny Cueto and Jeff Samardzija. And who knows, you know, what they'll get out of Samardzija. We know they won't get anything out of Cueto next year. So I think it's really important that they get some sort of inexpensive components in that rotation. And you begin with Suarez and Rodriguez there.
Yeah, and they look like they can pitch, which is the best part. Yeah. It's not projects. They look like they know what they're doing. Andy, next Saturday will be September 1st. Where will Andrew McCutchen be?
Well, that's a great question, Marty, and I think that, you know, there's no rush to deal him right now because I think any team that wants to take on Andrew McCutchen, they're going to want him for his veteran leadership. They're going to want him for, you know, his ability to maybe help them in a playoff series. I think the teams that aren't necessarily looking to acquire Andrew McCutchen to get them to the playoffs, you know, an Indians or a Yankees or you know, go down the list of Phillies, I think most of those teams are in pretty good position already. So that's why, you know, you don't see them in a hurry to strike a deal now, because the more they wait, the less of his contract, prorated contract would be left. There's a little over $3 million left right now. So I think that you will see him dealt closer to September 1, because that obviously is the last day that you could add a player to your organization, and he'd still be eligible for your playoff roster. So, you know, where he goes, I think, you know, I was thinking it would probably be a National League team if he didn't clear waivers. But since he did clear waivers, then, you know, it's pretty much anywhere. I think the Indians are the team that could most use him. But, you know, it would be nice to see him, you know, land with a team that's got a chance to win a World Series, because I think we all have enjoyed watching him. We've all enjoyed the personality. He is one of the game's great stars, even if maybe he's a little bit past his prime now. But, you know, somebody who carries himself like a real professional and has a real love for the game. And I think seeing Andrew McCutchen in the postseason with a chance to, you know, maybe spray some champagne around would be pretty cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool in New York. I think he struck out and looked at his bat like there was a hole in it.
Yeah, I saw that.
He's got the element, you know. He does have that little theatrical element. Well, great to have you back. Glad to chat with you. And the Joey Bart report is really good. I think you're the first one who ever spent a week in Salem, Kaiser. How's the food up there?
Well, Marty, you know, you're not too far from Portland. And so one of my favorite restaurants in all of the U.S. is in Portland, called Pock Pock. And it's Andy Ricker is the chef, and he does a lot of Thai dishes that are just awesome and does this Thai herbal salad that might be my favorite thing to eat on the planet. So I definitely stopped there as soon as I got off the plane, had some voodoo donuts, which you have to do when you're in Portland, get the maple bacon bar. And you've also got a lot of great wine country up there, a lot of Pinot Noir. So it's, stopped in and did a little wine tasting, Marty, and I mean it's no Chilean wine, but it's you know, it's not half bad. And you know what? If you're ever up there near Salem, there is a state park called Silver Falls State Park, and you can do a trail. It's two trails that connect in a loop, and it's about 7 or 7.5 miles. So it's a long hike. But you pass 10 waterfalls, and even in August, there's plenty of water in them, and you can walk underneath the waterfalls. It's just, it's a really, really unique hike. It's one of my favorite hikes to do. So got up early one morning and did that as well. So there's a lot to do in Oregon. It's, the air quality was really bad. All in the Pacific Northwest, it was really, really smoky because of all the fires and stuff. So, maybe not the best time to go right now, but it is a beautiful state.
No cha-cha bowl at the ballpark?
No, we'll save that for later, Marty. We can do a cha-cha bowl pretty much whenever. You got to seize the opportunity, though, whenever you can.
All right. Hey, great to talk with you. Great to talk to you. And I look forward to reading the story today in The Athletic about Joey Bart. I feel with the Posey surgery that Joey Bart, the spotlight is going to be on him tremendously for the winter and for the spring. So we'll see where it ends up. But I appreciate it. Thanks, Andy.
Oh, thanks, Marty. Yeah, anybody to be the highest pick since Will Clark, you'd have to be the next Will Clark. Anybody to be the next catcher after Buster Posey, you're the next Buster Posey. Yeah. He's got to be both those things. So he's got to deal with that sort of twin pressure. So that's what sort of the story's all about.
Very good. I'll look forward to it. Thanks, Andy. Thank you.
Thanks, Marty.
All right, that's Andy Bagley of The Athletic.